Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Good afternoon, folks. We are running tonight. I was going to do a two-hour show, but because of things going on here at the house, I've had to shorten that. But Russia today or the other day announced that everyone who has supplied weapons to the Ukraine is a potential target for retaliation. Now, does that mean that our coward of a president is going to stop giving weapons and stuff to the Ukrainian people and their military? Knowing Biden, probably. He doesn't want to escalate the war, don't you know? Though Russia is the one doing that all by themselves. But I hope Biden wises up and starts to think like an American president and not a wimp. But I seriously doubt if that will happen. But looking in Newsmax World, I found an article that talks about Mariupol, which is on the front lines of the Ukraine. And the headline of it pretty much said the whole thing. Dead buildings tower over uncollected corpses in Mariupol on the front line. And the picture that came with it shows a man holding a baby during an excavation from a maternity hospital damaged by shelling attack in Mariupol, Ukraine, Wednesday on March 9th. But the article says in Mariupol, daily life is a series of harrowing escapes from bomb blasts and basic survival rituals amid the rubble that lies everywhere. Uncollected corpses wrapped in blankets, coats, or any available covering lie in courtyards cleared of debris. Those killed are often buried in common graves. All around are the blackened shells of sprawling tower blocks, typical of Soviet-era dwellings, twisted metal on balconies, shattered windows, wood and metal and other wreckage scattered between buildings and in the streets. Now, if they've got balconies, they're apartments, folks. And the Russians are bombing apartments. But there's something else that's actually coming along here and something that I heard about today. But the article goes on, says some 400,000 people have been trapped in the strategic port city on the Sea of Azov for more than 2 weeks, sheltering from heavy bombardment that has severed central supplies of electricity, heating, and water, according to local authorities. Russia's defense ministry said on Friday that its forces were tightening the noose around Mariupol and that fighting had reached the city center. With no running water or heating, women crouch around makeshift barbecues to cook whatever food they can find. As spring approaches, there is no longer any snow to melt for drinking water. Residents say no one expected this in post-Soviet Ukraine. An unrelenting onslaught from what was once thought of as fraternal Russia. Though some have lived through other upheavals that jolted the country back under Soviet rule. A downcast Alexander, 57, gesturing towards a place in the open where the body of his wife's mother lays now, said she had a Russian passport, Russian citizenship, lots of medals. My mother-in-law was born in 1936. She survived through the siege of Leningrad, he said, referring to the 900-day Nazi encirclement of the city now known as St. Petersburg. She was an honored worker of fish farming in the Russian Federation. So that is where she is. Officials in Mariupol say 2,500 people have died since the Russian forces poured across the Ukrainian border on February 24th. Donetsk region governor Pavlo Kirilenko said on Friday that around 35,000 had managed to leave the city in recent days, many on foot or in convoys of private cars during the rare moments when Russian shelling subsides. Those left occasionally verge on despair. The cold and anxiety taking their toll. I feel terrible, said one woman, Olga, who wore a pink hat under a hoodie and a big coat. I don't want to blame anyone, but I'm disgusted and scared and I'm cold. I just don't have any words. I wasn't ready for my life to become like this. Russia denies targeting civilians and has accused Kyiv of using them as human shields, something Ukrainian officials deny. Now, one of the people that I constantly watch is a reporter from Newsmax TV who is constantly out there, who is constantly on the front lines in the way of people getting bombed and people getting hurt, and he's always helping them. He says that they are targeting civilians. They are targeting people. And as Russia saying they're using that the Ukrainians are using human shields, he says that's unequivocally wrong. He said Russia is saying that they're bombing these apartment complexes and these buildings because the Ukrainians have enforcements behind them that are shooting at the Russians. This man who is over there and has been reporting on this says this is a lie. There is nothing there. But what we are seeing is with the Russians, Mariupol is seen as a strategic prize for the Russian invaders to create a bridge between Crimea, annexed by Moscow in 2014, and two separatist enclaves in eastern Ukraine. A maternity hospital was bombed last week, sending patients fleeing into the streets. A theater, and this I talked about on one of my updates the other day, that was used to shelter people forced from their homes was also struck, despite the word children being written outside in big enough letters to be read by pilots. In the parking lot, folks, a sense of solidarity among residents fearing for their lives has taken hold. Strangers take in other strangers. One middle-aged resident, gesturing to her elderly mother, said, "We spent 2 days in the basement. She couldn't move. I thought she wouldn't survive. Then we managed to leave the basement, and this is the first time I have seen these people, but they sheltered us. And here we are sitting, covered in blankets, and it's very cold here. We just want to go home." Children look on uncomprehendingly. "Don't worry, my little darling. Everything will be all right," said one unsmiling young mother, hugging her two school-aged children. Out in the courtyard, groups of men milled about aimlessly, surveying the scattered building. And around them lay the bodies. Only identifying markers are scraps of paper appended to makeshift crosses, each bearing a name and a date of birth and death, and no indication when they will be collected. This is sad, folks. But the other thing that I was hearing from Newsmax today was that Russian soldiers are right now shooting themselves in the legs so they don't have to fight, which is something else that you never hear from Putin. He's right now threatening America and everyone else who is helping Ukraine by arming them. And when it comes to that kind of thing, you gotta just kind of laugh a little bit. Because Biden is saying, "Oh, we can't do anything that will escalate this." Well, folks, Putin is the one who is escalating this. He actually said that America needs to fall. He said he will not rest until the world is not under American control in any way, shape, or form. So essentially, he just declared war on us. So what is Biden's problem in the first place?
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans apparently have no option to.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he can...
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we are back. One of the things that is going on here in America is the Democrat Party is pretty much imploding. We've got like 34 or something like that Democrats who are saying that they are not going to seek re-election. We have one of them, retiring House Democrat Stephanie Murphy, unloading on the party, saying you can't keep promising rainbows and unicorns. Exactly, folks. And the people, the Democrats are finally starting to wake up. It says retiring Representative Stephanie Murphy, Democrat of Florida, on Friday unloaded on President Biden and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, or the DCCC, blaming them for steering the Democrat Party into oblivion come the November midterms. Murphy spilled the beans, telling Political Playbook the Democrat leadership beat her and other moderate Democrats into submission for the purpose of pushing a radical agenda item that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi proposed. I can't tell you the number of times I said, you can't keep promising rainbows and unicorns when your political reality is such narrow margins in the House and dead even in the Senate, Murphy said. They took the difference between rainbows and unicorns and political reality, which is anger and disappointment, and turned that anger into and disappointment against their own members. This is what she said. Murphy said hardball tactics are consistently used by Democrats to push members to take one vote for the team in order to satisfy the Democrat leadership, such as Biden's lieutenants at the DCCC. Murphy explained, some of these members who would come to me and say, I can't afford to tick off the DCCC and have them put my money at risk, or I can't afford to have my base attacking me. I can't afford to have the millions of dollars of ads that I'm watching run in your district run against me. Murphy explained, it's unfortunate that that's where we have gotten. Murphy slammed Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat in New York, the DCCC's chief, as having a self-interest in pushing members to vote for radical policies if it means a promotion for himself from party leaders in the future. And in that, there's a little blurb there after that, I guess something that Senator Patrick Maloney said. He said, I believe in the DCC, I believe that the DCCC exists for one reason and one reason only, and that is incumbent protection and expanding the majority. Oh, this Murphy again. Yeah. I don't believe that the person who runs the DCCC should be a member who's elected, because inevitably that member has further aspirations in the Democratic leadership. And in order to ascend in Democratic leadership, you have to secure the progressive vote. And securing the progressive vote means it makes it difficult for you also then to protect moderates and create a space for them to do what they need to do to win and hold seats. I think that's just a structure that is misaligned to what should be the sole purpose of the DCCC, incumbent retention and expanding the majority. That is what she said. Not everyone agrees with Murphy, though. Congressional candidate and state representative Anthony Sabatini, Republican of Florida, who is running in the district from which Murphy is retiring, told Breitbart News that Murphy is just whining about party politics because the Democrat Party lost control of Florida. In recent months, voter registration has tipped Republican for the first time in history. Noting Murphy voted with Pelosi the vast majority of the time, Sabatini suggested she has no right to complain about the radical, about the radical Democrat Party. Despite her rhetoric, Stephanie Murphy was very left-wing and voted with Nancy Pelosi 98% of the time and voted against the entire MAGA agenda, Sabatini said. The truth is, the radical communist Democrat Party has gone so far left that even hardened liberals like Murphy aren't extreme enough to gain leadership positions, he added. And he also tweeted that Joe Biden is officially the worst president in American history. Murphy is among the 31 House Democrats who have decided not to run for re-election for various motives, such as the desire to retire from public eye for personal reasons or to run for a different office. This amounts to the largest mass exodus in three decades. The retirements will greatly favor Republicans due to the incumbent advantage. Republicans are heading into the midterms leading Democrats on the nation's top issues, according to polling. Most among the top issues that favor Republicans are the economy, 48% to 35%, jobs, 46% to 37%, immigration, 45% to 38%, and energy, 42% to 39%. It kind of makes me wonder here. With energy prices going so high and there's no end in sight here, why is there still 39% who are voting for it? With immigration, Democrats are talking about how they have to get themselves ready because there's a mass influx of immigrants, illegal immigrants, coming into the southern border. Why is there still 38% who are voting for that? When it comes to jobs, we have right now, they're saying, 3.9% unemployment, But it's higher than that, and if you use your brain a little bit, you understand that it has to be higher than that. It was a little lower than that when Trump was in office, but they're trying to say that they have the lowest unemployment in history. No, they don't. They're just not counting a lot of people who are no longer working, looking for work. They are just not counting the people who have not found work and can't find work. They are not counting the people who have just given up. And there's a lot of people in those three categories that have just stopped looking for work. And because of that, they're not included in the unemployment rolls. I mean, like my wife right now, she was getting unemployment after she
I will remain as long as you do to bring you the news of the day. We will be right back. Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is pleased to announce the return of Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown. Earlier this summer, Vincent took time off for the summer to do some things that he wanted to do with his family. Family is important, no matter what the left says. Now he is back. Starting on the 19th of September, Vincent Brown is back with Black by Color Only at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays with the show that you all loved. Vincent has a special way to let you know just what is going on and why it is good or bad. That's Black by Color Only on CNM, where America always wins. Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on, so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Began to lose control.